Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. It is embarrassing all around. I'm Katie.
I'm Mary Kate. Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
How was your week? Nope, okay, I'll tell you what just happened. A crazy true crime story that I started.
It was real.
I was in the park yesterday. I dropped my phone by accident, took a video of my son, and then must have put it down, absentmindedly picked him up. And his bike, and my backpack, and his backpack, and we went home, and I didn't even realize.
Oh, so you fully left your phone at the
park. I left my phone there, yeah, at the park. But we get, at 10:30, my husband gets this really weird message that says, hackers can talk here. And he wrote, what's going on? And
it from
was,
you.
Yeah, from me. He was like, what's going on? And it was a whole manifesto of you think you know why, and then he started calling. He's like, why am I getting calls from Texas? You know, I always get calls from Texas, and your people are trying to come after me and my devices. You want me to pick up, and why would I do that? Like, all this crazy stuff.
That was so, all texted.
Yes. So then he told me to track it, so I track it. And it's up in this neighborhood, and I write down the address. I throw my mom in the car. My mom. And my son, my mom's visiting.
What?
And we drive up there. I pound on the door. This really nice old man opens up. There's, you know, religious document. There's religious pamphlets around his house. It's clearly not him. And I had the wrong address. So I didn't have time to go back. So I get in the car and I felt terrible. Because I was like, who has my phone? And the guy's like, it's not me. Like, I don't know who you are. Get out of here. So then I'm driving home. I tell John after work, I'm like, here's the
Wait,
real
so you
address.
Went without John?
Yeah, he was working.
You just jumped in the car.
I was like, Mom, let's go.
With your
Elliot,
mom Phil. And your baby, yeah. And you're going to go confront this guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm looking around the neighborhood, and I'm like, there's some weird, oh, I see red. I'm going to be murdered immediately if I ever try to
interfere. That's your triple Scorpio. That's where it comes
in. I get
in.
Yeah. blinded by red, rage. So then John goes after work to this neighborhood, and it's the right address, and he calls me. He's like, oh, this is sketchy. There's no garbage at this house. There's lock boxes. I think this might be some kind of shell for hackers. I was like, oh my God. Comes home. I get in the car with him. We go back. Pound on the door. Two really nice students. First of all, there's a bumper sticker on their car that says, I'm just listening to the Indigo Girls. Like, it's like, I'm like, they didn't do it. But we pound on their door and they open and they're like, we don't know what's going on. Oh my God, we're students. We're so sorry. Oh, do you want to come in? You can look around. I was like, no, we're so sorry. We leave. We go back home.
You guys are like little detectives on the scene.
Oh, we were
getting after it.
Only murders in the building.
It.
We had adrenaline rushes. We were like, oh, what if we find them? What if it drops them? What are we going to do? We look around this neighborhood before we drive away. All the shades are drawn, Katie. It's Pleasantville. All the shades are drawn. There's cute dog sounds coming from certain houses, but nobody is around on the block. It's almost as if it's some kind of front for something.
Eerie.
And we drive home, and then that night we keep tracking it on Find My iPhone. It's by a dumpster in the Food for Less up the street from my house, which is really sketchy. The parking lot gets really sketchy at night.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
John
about.
John jumps in his car in his PJs. He's driving. We're FaceTiming. I'm like, oh God, be careful. He's like, I see someone. And he gets out, and it's like Blair Witch. He's running towards me. He's like, excuse me, do you have a cell phone? This lady with her little dog, she's like, oh, God, I'm going through something right now. Leave me alone. She like drives, runs away.
He's like stopping old ladies on the street.
He
like
stopped giving, old ladies
he's
on
yelling
the street.
At old ladies
we never
on
found the
street.
Phone. We can still track
was
it.
Was it in the dumpster?
No.
Maybe. Maybe he thought
that
he had
phone
trackers.
Stayed
and he threw it.
By the dumpster the entire night. In the morning, it went somewhere else. So that means someone slept by the dumpster with my phone in their pocket.
Yeah.
We never
They're
got to the bottom of it. I never
messages.
Solved the mystery, but we're on the case.
Today, you needed a phone upgrade, and I think the universe did for you what you could not do for yourself. Because honestly, your phone was busted. And it was time. You were having so
the
many technical difficulties. I think the universe did for you what you could not do for yourself.
It's true. I bet the universe is pissed that I was so pissed about it and tried to find it so hard. The universe is like, oh, run away again.
Give up, goddammit. Like, get a new phone. Need it. So it's good. It's good.
So,
it was time for an upgrade.
It was time for an upgrade.
Yes.
What? How was your week? How's it
my
going?
My week was good. I like stumbled into this TikTok that said, like, if you can't go on a European vacation and you live around Southern California, here are all the places that you can visit. And I was like, wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Whoa, I saw this in your stories.
So, exactly. So most of those I've heard of before, like Solvang we've been to before. I that looks that. Like Denmark. It's such a cute little place. People were like, oh, if you can't go to Venice, go to the Venice Canal. So I was like, that's a stretch. They're not.
That's definitely a stretch. It's like dead rats.
Yes, yeah, it's not. It doesn't look like Venice. I've been to Venice. It doesn't look like Venice. Been to both Venices.
Doesn't smell like
been
Venice.
To both Venice Canals and neither one are comparable. Let's get honest. But so I was like, no, that doesn't really. And then a few other places popped up. But one of them I had never heard of in the 24 years I've been in Los Angeles. And it is like India. They're like, if you can't go to India, go to this place. It's actually in Chino Hills, even though it says Los Angeles, it's Chino Hills. So it's like an hour away. It is absolutely incredible. I definitely recommend going. It's called Baps, B-A-P-S, Los Angeles is their handle on Instagram. You can look them up. But they basically made all of these pieces hand carved from like red sandstone in India. They have the entire inside of it, of the, it's called a mandir, which is essentially like a temple for worship. You know, it's incredible. The inside is all hand carved Italian Carrara marble. The outside is all of these different types of like sandstones and different types of stones that were all hand carved in India, sent over by boat and put together like a giant jigsaw puzzle over 5 years.
When did they do that?
It was completed in, I think, 2007.
Whoa. It's gorgeous. It does not look like anything I've ever seen here.
Exactly. It's not. And it's like, there's only six of them in the U.S., and this is one of them, and it's a work to behold. It is honestly like it's incredible. It's awe inspiring and breathtaking. And I was just like,
oh. I love that you did that. You went.
I immediately like I was like, oh, I'm going tomorrow. I don't care. I'm so spontaneous that when I get an idea, if I have the time, I was like, I'm doing it. And it was really cool. And I recommend it. Like that was a really cool experience.
Isn't that getting out of your own way, getting out of your own agenda, and just taking off and just showing up someplace like that? Doesn't that feel good?
Yes, getting out of your comfort zone and just going and doing something fun and new. I went by myself. And then I was while I'm here, I have never been thrifting in Chino Hills. So let's do that too. I went to a couple places.
Was it great?
I got this shirt.
Isn't
it great?
I love
that
shirt.
Isn't it so cute? I'm so 90s today.
You look great.
But yeah.
And shout out to your hat, Project.
My hat matches like it was made for the outfit. So yeah, it was a good week.
Yay, amazing.
That's what I did. Should we tell some stories?
Let's tell some stories. Let's do it.
Should we get into it? Yeah, do you want to start?
Well, the first one I have is a caller.
Let's talk to someone.
We've talked to him before. His name is John. He told us a swimming story.
Okay.
Swimming around. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hi.
You're on with Katie and Mary Kate of the Beat Red podcast.
How are we doing?
How are you doing? Don't sound so excited.
Good. I'm ready to embarrass myself.
Oh, great.
Yes,
we're
live
so
for that.
Excited to hear your story. Thank you so much for doing this again.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Okay, so get into it. Tell us, set the scene. What happened?
Okay, so my story is that it has to do with driving. It has to do with the Waffle House.
Okay. I do love the Waffle House.
And driving to the Waffle House. So when I was growing up, I grew up overseas, so I didn't get my driver's license until I was 19 because I couldn't get my driver's license for up. I grew up in Singapore. They didn't issue them until you were 18, and that's when I left. So. It took me a while to get my driver's license. And so I finally got my license when I was 19. And I had saved up some money when I was younger. I was on a children's TV show when I was a kid.
Would that be Lamb Chop?
It was Lamb Chop.
It was on Lamb Chop.
With Sherry Lewis.
I love it
so
much.
And he made some bank to buy a car.
Wait, so where were you living at 19?
So I went to college in Asheville, North Carolina. Well, in Swannanoa, North Carolina, which is about half an hour outside of Asheville.
Okay.
Really rural. It's really beautiful. It kind of looks like the Shire from Lord of the Rings.
Gorgeous.
I know it. I went to Clemson, so I was not too far.
Oh, cool. Know what that.
You were just down the road.
Yeah.
Finally got my car. I drove it. My parents were living in Texas at the time, and I drove it to Carolina, and I had no problems driving it. You know, up to North Carolina. Then the first week of this of my year at college, the school year, I had a bit of an accident. So I was hanging out with my friends one night.
You pooped your pants.
And no, definitely didn't poop my pants. Okay. So yeah, we're hanging out one night, a couple of friends of mine, my friend's girlfriend like had this accident. So she like tripped. I don't remember why she like tripped and fell or something like that. So she was walking with a cane.
Oh man.
Not good.
So, we're hanging out over, everybody's kind of hungry. The dining hall is closed. So, you know, I'm the only one of my friends that has a car. They're like, let's go to Waffle House. Let's, you know, it's the closest restaurant. It's open 24 hours. It's like, let's go to Waffle House.
As you do.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any CDs, but I had just purchased a used copy of Prince's Purple Rain on tape.
Nice.
Perfect.
It did have a cassette player. So I popped in Purple Rain. And we're driving and, you know, we're listening to the record and we're talking and, then when Doves Cry comes on, and for whatever reason, I got kind of a lead foot. I wasn't really like paying attention to what I was doing or whatever.
I'm sorry, this is
so I ended up going like pretty fast. So we're like buzzing down I-40 towards the Waffle House. And it's pretty much like a turn right off of the highway to get into the Waffle House. So, I didn't really realize how fast I was going. I was going like 70 miles an hour. We came up on it really, really quick. And my friend Patrick was like, yo, it's right there. You better turn. So I turned going 70 miles an hour into the driveway, completely missed the driveway. So this Waffle House was kind of like up on like a little bit of a hill. And sort of on this little hill, there was this garden that had been sort of beautifully cultivated and this, you know, this fence that had been made with found pieces of wood that someone
toast.
Had, you know,
that garden
taken
is
a
toast.
Lot of care to put, you know, to put together just this sort of like beautiful scene in front of a Waffle House. Right. I just tear ass right up that hill, tear up all the plants. I go through the fence. It's like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh my God.
Like pressed into the air. And I fly right into the wall of the Waffle House.
You crashed into a Waffle House.
I didn't.
You got
go
so pumped up from when Doves Cry.
It was made out of brick. Thank God. So I was like pumped, listening to Purple Rain, and so like yeah, like Dukes of Hazzard over this hill, and I slam into the wall. The house, the Waffle House, is made out of brick,
God.
So I don't go through the wall.
Okay, but your car. Yeah. Oof.
The car bounces back off the wall, almost like it's a rubber ball or something like that. All of the airbags go off, of course.
Yeah.
The front smashed, so there's like all of this steam coming out.
Oh, my
and,
God. That's dangerous.
So I get out of the car to examine the damage. My friend's girlfriend and my friend got out of the car. She's like, she hobbles out of there with a cane, already very embarrassing. Then the waitress from the Waffle House comes barreling out, and she yells, y'all got to get away from that car. It's going to explode.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, no, I don't think it's going to explode. I think that, you know, it's like, it's the dust from the airbags going off. It might be some steam from under. She's like, no, it's going to explode, and I'm calling the cops.
Oh, no.
So the police did come.
Did the car explode?
And the car did not explode.
God, I thought you were going to say.
What kind of car was it?
It was like a two-door Ford Escort. They called it the Ford ZX2.
Okay. That's not a good car to crash into a Waffle House.
No. You need a Hummer for that.
No, but I think that's why it crumpled instead of going through the wall.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it
thankfully
was
you guys didn't crumple.
I know. Thankfully that steering wheel didn't go right up into your teeth. That's too graphic.
No. just some sprains. That was very visceral.
Sorry,
yeah,
that was so upsetting.
I did manage to hang on to all of my teeth.
Thank God for that.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
You creep.
It's amazing that steering wheel didn't go right into your skull. So, yeah, the police came and they took a statement and, you know, they didn't charge me with anything, but
Were you drunk?
You know, the manager of the Waffle House.
There's been enough time.
You're drunk driving.
Honestly, it was one of the rare occasions at that point in my life where I was not completely
lucky. Very lucky.
That is so lucky. I just love it when Dove's Cry came on. You were like lead footed. You got so excited.
Like, I got this car. I'm in it with my friends. I'm listening to Prince.
Living the dream.
I just gotta like let her rip.
Yeah.
And let her rip. I did. What they did say was that they wouldn't press charges. The manager of the Waffle said they weren't going to press charges.
That's nice.
I came back and rebuilt the fence.
Oh.
Okay, you had to do that. And the old lady who planted all those flowers was like, and the garden, too. Did you have to replant the garden?
I did not have to replant the garden, but the hits keep coming because I went to go rebuild the fence and I could not do it.
What do you mean?
Like, I had absolutely no skills for rebuilding fences whatsoever.
So like, show up with the wood and you're like,
people are just like on their fifth waffle, like, oh, he sucks.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, like, I kept like trying to put sticks up. Like, I was like, maybe if I make this like a Y, it will like hold this other like branch up or something
like
that.
She's making some ranch, ramshackle, like wooden structure in front of the Waffle House. Yeah.
It was me like tipping pieces of wood over in front of this Waffle House while like the Sunday brunch crowd just watched me like try and fail and try again. So I had to go to I had to go back to my college, and I was like, hey, you know, I was like asking around. I was like, does anybody know anybody who can build a fence? And
so embarrassing.
Eventually I like found one guy and I was like, listen, like I really need help here. Is there any chance that you could like come and help me build this fence at the Waffle House? Because I drove through it and I really don't want to like face any legal charges if I can't build this fence. I mean, the guy was nice enough and I was lucky enough that he came with me and like helped me put this fence together.
Aww,
and it didn't take more than a couple
like
of hours.
I picture like a barefoot Harrison Ford, like no shirt, smoking a cigarette, like building the fence with you. But that's probably not what he looks
just
like.
Just like a hunk. Just like a giant, sexy.
You just picture the shirtless hot guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, this guy, you know.
What is this?
It's this like weak idiot, and he had to go get this like hunk.
Six pack rock hard abs. People
Where
are just dropping their waffles.
Yeah.
Well, you got him to do it, did you? And you helped.
I did. I mean, I helped a lot. I like to think that it went a lot faster because I was involved in the process.
Nice, nice. What happened with the car? Was it totaled?
The car was just like obliterated.
Yeah.
So I also had, you know, I had to call my parents and explain that. And when I called my parents, I was like, hey, there is a problem with the car's airbags.
Oh, great.
They deployed. They malfunctioned. I need a new car.
I need a whole new car.
Well, I was like, I think they might be a little overly sensitive. My mom was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, like I ran into a Waffle House. I didn't
right
run into
over.
It that hard. I didn't go through the wall. And my mom was like, okay, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, what are we looking at here in terms of damage? It's like, oh, like the thing is just like demolished. It's like, oh, so it was the airbags that were the problem.
Your mom busted
thing is
you.
Just like, it is embarrassing on all levels. I was embarrassed bringing it up to my parents. I was embarrassed in front of strangers. I was embarrassed in front of my peers at college. I was embarrassed
in front of Harrison Ford
in the car.
Shirtless.
And then, yeah, I was embarrassed in front of, you know, Harrison Ford, who built a pristine fence, who, you know,
amazing,
saved my bacon when I obliterated the Waffle House fence.
That is amazing. Yeah. I love that story. I love it.
The
Thank
college
you
days
so much for telling us. And for...
I never went back, by the way.
To Waffle House?
Never went back to that Waffle House.
Did you go to a different Waffle House?
Do you still eat waffles?
No, never went. I would go to a different Waffle House. I would admire the handiwork that I helped with from afar when I was driving past it.
Amazing.
I may or may not have told a few people that I built that fence, even though I have.
That's hilarious.
You scored a date with that one, did you? Great.
No.
Well,
trying to make friends.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for sharing
John.
That, John. That's hilarious. And of course, glad you're safe and okay.
I know, what me too. I'm glad you lived, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I lived to tell the tale. I kept all my teeth and everything.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love you. Oh, I said I love you so much. Okay, well, thank you so much.
I love you too.
Whoa.
Bye.
Bye.
Or you might as well say that's her husband. That's her husband. I'm telling the world that's her husband and he's coming us.
He hung up first.
So cute. I love it.
So cute. Do you have a story for us?
No, I don't. That's our show.
That's our show. Oh my God, Katie.
I do.
Sassafras toast over here. Okay.
Okay. This one comes from Kelly and she writes, back in my hoe era, when I was like 19.
Great opener.
I know. Great opener. Was like, did I write those stories? Okay. Back in my hoe era, when I was like 19, there was this one guy that was especially hot. Like, so hot.
Whoa.
I'll just say he was a professional in the X Games realm. Anyway,
yes.
I initially met him when I sort of dated his friend, so we knew each other. They both lived in California at the time, so like a year after I wasn't talking to his friend anymore, I ran into him in a bar downtown in my hometown. It was so random, but he was there for a competition. We talked at the bar and flirted, and when the bar closed, he asked me to come back to his hotel with him and get in the hot tub.
Nice.
I said yes, and we went. Well, it was after 2 a.m. and the whole hot tub area was closed, obviously.
Oh, he knew that. He knew that. He knew it.
But neither of us were thinking clearly at that point. Yeah, he probably knew.
He was like, come on back.
Then he asked me if I wanted to just go to his room with him. I was down.
Oh, yeah.
But I get there and I find out that he's sharing the hotel room with three other guys.
Are you kidding me?
I felt so awkward, but I didn't know what to do. This guy was so hot. And I wanted to keep hanging out.
Are there like two twin beds, like two double beds?
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay, whoa.
But I wished I had him alone. We all ended up talking and hanging out for a bit. And then suddenly we were all going to bed. I was like, what do I do? There's five of us and two beds.
What?
So first,
three guys are going to just pile into this bed and her and this other guy?
No. There's two guys in one bed.
What?
And her and two guys in another bed.
That's crazy. What's going to happen? Oh, my God.
So for some reason, I got into a friggin' bed with him in the middle and his friend on the other side. I think I had my clothes on even. Like, what was I doing? Then
she's just like going to tuck herself in like, night, guys.
Like, hanging out. And then she's like,
She's like Wendy from, like, Peter Pan. Like, guess I'll cook you some breakfast tomorrow? I don't know.
Then he started touching me and I froze. All I could think was, oh my God, there's someone else in
the bed
with us.
That's so awkward. That's so awkward.
But I couldn't help myself. Like I said.
Oh my God.
Like I said, he was super hot. I didn't even touch him or anything. I was trying to hold still and barely move because the friend in bed had a serious injury from the competition that day. So he was, like, not doing well.
What?
So they're all, like, in the X Games realm.
Right.
His friend had competed that day, too, and got into a serious injury.
Like,
so he's injured in the bed with them.
Oh, my God.
So awful. She's in between the hot guy and a guy with a serious injury, and she's trying not to move, but also trying to get off because this guy's really hot. So it's pretty funny. So,
and the other guy is awake.
There's no way he doesn't know something. But also, he's like, okay, we're all just getting in the bed together. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, you know? And he's
also like, get the fuck out of me.
He's like, I don't feel good. I want to go to bed. Right now. Exactly.
I already have to sleep next to someone else and hopefully not get kicked and injured more.
Right.
Who knows? He continued, and I let him get me off as I barely moved. No one reacted, but I laid there for a bit after I finished and pretended to fall asleep. Then after a little while, I told him, I gotta go. He walked me to the door and kissed me. I had to get out of there so I didn't have to face all those guys in the morning. I was too embarrassed to talk to him again, but shortly after that, he ended up dating and marrying a reality star.
Whoa, who could this be?
So figure that out, people.
Whoa, that is so awkward. And that is so, and
it's
that's kind of embarrassing.
Awkward.
I like that she got out of there, but also, like, how do you, that's, Every guy in that room knew what was going to happen.
Because I'm sure she was drunk from the bar. She was like, this guy's so hot. I just want to hook up with him. And then she got there and she was like, oh my God, there's 10 million people here. And then she was like, well, maybe we could still make this work. And then
she made it work.
She was like, I can't believe I just did that and I got to get out of here. She's ashamed. I'm so embarrassed.
That's so good.
It's a different kind of story.
Yeah,
it's a good one. You've hooked up with a few other people in the bed. Tell us your story.
I mean, what would you do if you were in the other bed? Would you just be like, oh, I guess I'm going to just
act like you're asleep, probably. I mean,
do you think there was a game? Do you think it was like, hey, let's see if each one of us can bring home a girl?
And he's the only one who did it. They would have had 10 girls. They would have been
now. Oh, they're in there for one night. Oh, that's right. Okay. Whoa, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's a different kind of story.
A different kind of story.
Let's get some other stories like that.
Okay.
Okay.
What you got?
This story is from Kathy in Juneau, Alaska. And she wrote, my husband and I lived on our boat for a few months every year after we retired. We loved cruising around the world and docking in different ports occasionally as we made our way. One trip, we were up the coast of California on our way to Canada, and we came across an unmarked crab trap. This is a lot different story than the one you told. It's an unmarked crab trap in the water a few miles from shore. We reeled it in, and it was full of gorgeous Dungeness crabs. Finding no tags, we feared these crabs had been forgotten. That night, amid the calm waters just a few miles from the California coast, we enjoyed a delicious fresh crab dinner on our boat. Then we anchored for the night under the calm skies and twinkling stars.
I know where this is going.
The next morning, they're going to a hotel room with five other guys in the bed. The next morning, while sipping coffee in the fresh early mist, my husband and I decided to go dock for a few hours and enjoy some California hospitality. It was 3 p.m. by the time we were done exploring. We'd enjoyed a few local wineries and decided, what's the rush? Let's have some lunch before we get back on board. When you travel anywhere, you always find the best restaurants by asking local shopkeepers. That's what we did, and were directed to a little place where they had the best fish, unquote. My goodness, was that place delightful.
What was it? We want to go eat there.
While perusing the extensive fish selection, we noticed a small section for quote, local crab, unquote, and it had a little sticker that said, no crab today. We inquired with the waiter, why no crab? He looked at us grimly and said, someone cleaned us out, stole all the crabs in our trap. We were mortified. We left an extra big tip before we slinked off and set sail once more.
Yep, you can't they steal the crab traps.
You would you do that?
I'm from Maryland, so but I know you don't do that.
I know, yes, you know.
I am from Maryland.
But if there's, what if you found a crab trap?
And uncle had his own crab trap, so I never worried about the crab traps.
But I mean, like, what if you found someone that was unmarked and you love
crab? I know you can't do that. Yeah,
because you knew it was someone, so you know someone's coming back.
Yeah, you can't take other people's crab traps ever.
Do people ever forget about their crab traps?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Crabs are
that's fair.
Crazy expensive, and especially now, like no
they
one
ate
ever
all their crabs.
No one ever forgets about their crab traps.
I know.
No one ever
Katie,
does.
I love the sight of you.
About like, these how get you. Get those crabs. Crab traps.
You're like a crab PA.
Crab PA. Oh, so there you go.
Okay.
Hope you enjoyed them. Hope you enjoyed your stolen crabs.
They did, I'm sure.
They were delicious. How many did they eat?
I mean, it was really a full crab trap.
25 crabs. And all-you-can-eat crab feast back there. I love it.
You just have, like, one huge skewer of, like, 18 dead crabs.
So good. Okay. This next story comes from Natalie, and she writes, I've listened to a pretty large, reasonably famous news political podcast for the last few years. I'm such a fan that I subscribe to their Patreon, and every couple of weeks they host a Zoom happy hour for their Patreon club. I had regularly joined for a few months at this point, and I always enjoyed the discourse. On this particular happy hour Zoom, I joined in, but I was also getting ready to go out that night at the same time. I thought the camera was off until the podcaster hosting the Zoom was like, I think someone may have left their camera on by accident.
Which gets everyone's eyeballs on their Zoom.
I'm a very modest person, and I suddenly realized I was currently in a bra and underwear looking for something to wear in my closet in front of about 100 people.
That is so embarrassing.
Including the podcasters I admired so greatly.
That is so embarrassing. Oh, they saw her butt.
I immediately closed my laptop and peaced out, and I never joined another one of the Zooms they did regularly.
Because they knew. They knew
I'm
who she was.
Still mortified to this day, and it was like December 22, I think. Listen. Double check your video audio settings on Zoom and never try to listen in while you get dressed.
I mean, there is nothing more embarrassing, I think, than that. That is really embarrassing because you're...
Well, she could have been fully naked.
That's true.
She could have been farting. There could be a lot of other embarrassing things.
I just think that is so funny and so awful. That happened all the time during the pandemic.
And I'm always multitasking and listening to podcasts while I'm doing 8 million other things.
Right.
So you don't think about it probably. And she like had been on the Zoom so many times and she put it on and she's like, oh, I'm getting ready to go out. And like literally,
and the podcasters are just
100
like,
people are seeing you get dressed right in your closet.
I'm glad they said something; otherwise, it would have been, you know, just not great.
Yeah, it is. That's nice embarrassing. That they did, but
oh god, I love those stories. I love Zoom stories.
Yeah, like, there's so many good Zoom stories.
Yep.
Give us your Zoom stories.
Give us your.
We
Zoom
know they
stories.
Happened in 2020 with all the teachers too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, this next one is from Destiny in Mountain City, Tennessee, and she writes. I spent my childhood in a small farmhouse in a town called Mountain City, Tennessee in Johnson County.
Sounds fake.
Great. Sorry, Destiny. My friend thinks that your life is made
fake.
Up. Made up. Okay. Well, maybe you should Google it. Some of us did. It's real. We lived on an acre of land. In our backyard was a gorgeous green field that had a relatively large hill in it. Does that sound fake, Katie?
It really does.
Okay, well, here we go. Growing up, my 7 brothers and sisters and I would roll, run, and even bike down that steep hill. We scraped a lot of knees flying down that hill, one way or another. My daddy kept a big garden up at the top full of vegetables. I keep hearing your voice in my head saying, sounds fake. So now you're in my head. Over the years, the top of that hill grew into a place of respite for my family. We buried a lot of family pets up there under the oaks and the maples. Those glorious trees provided a canopy of shade. When I turned 18, my boyfriend proposed right at the top of that hill. We decided we'd have the wedding up at the top of it as a nod to the strong roots my family had planted there.
That's so cute.
Isn't that sweet? Yeah. They're going to like get married and start their roots.
I'm sorry. I said it was fake. It sounds really idyllic and amazing.
That sounds fake. The day of the wedding came and my bridesmaids and I got ready in the house while the guests and groomsmen roamed around outside sipping cocktails. My father was a big, boisterous man and was known to tie one on in social situations. As I got my makeup done in front of our window, I saw Daddy saunter up to the bar more than once. The wedding began.
Daddy was a drunk.
Daddy got wasted on
Daddy
my
was a
day.
Drunk. Daddy was a rolling stone.
Daddy was a drunk, wet stone rolling down a hill. The wedding began, and when all the bridesmaids had been escorted by groomsmen up the hill, I pinched myself at how perfect the moment was. I looked at Daddy and saw a twinkle in his eye. You're going to make me cry, Daddy, I whispered as I linked my arm with his. We'd hired the best fiddler in town to play a rowdy version of Pachelbel's Canon as Daddy and I climbed. My heart was in my throat as each step unveiled all of my dearest people looking back at me expectantly. They didn't get to see all of me, though, because for the first time in our family's history, my daddy took a bad step.
Aww.
Before I knew what was happening, everyone slipped out of view as my dad lost his balance and pulled me down with him. We slid a few feet and then just gave up and tumbled down the rest of the way.
No. That's horrible.
Isn't that awful? Can you imagine?
That's horrible.
My white dress was covered in
grass
stains.
That's what I was going to say. That white dress is
covered
ruined.
In grass stains, dirt.
Yeah.
And my bouquet took quite a beating. We laughed it off, but it was certainly an unexpected, embarrassing moment.
And they were both okay?
Still got married.
I mean, it doesn't really get more embarrassing than rolling backwards down a hill with your dad in front of everyone right as you're about to get to the top. That is horrifying.
And then you get there. You come back up again.
You look like shit. Like, you got twigs in your freaking hair.
You got dirt on your face.
Your hair is falling down.
You big disgrace.
You big disgrace. You got twigs.
Then you like limp up to your like
grass stains
beloved.
Everywhere. You broke your heel on your freaking shoe.
You're lipstick smeared down the
like
side
shit.
Of your face.
You're like,
you're crying hysterically.
I do.
You're like, just say your vows and get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got married anyway, it says. So, you know.
Well, I hope so. I hope he wasn't like, yeah, you know what? I don't. After this,
I'm not feeling this. I mean,
I hope
like
she got freshened up for her photos. That's all I have to say.
I mean, yeah, seriously.
Hope she did.
And also, come on, Dad. Let's not.
You got to Photoshop out those grass stains. That's all you can do.
I guess they could. The white amount.
Daddy got drunk and daddy fucked it up.
You should be a country singer.
I should.
Is catchy.
Right?
Oh, that's going to be in my head.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This next one comes from the Cup of Joe blog, and Mara writes, I was a rising junior in college, working at a local company over the summer. My office was the mailroom, which had an attached lounge, which... My office was the mailroom, which had an attached lounge with a large picture window. Important note, this window was not visible from my work area. There was a half wall blocking the view. Got it?
Okay, got it in your head. I just
understand
it.
Yep. You see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
I came into the mailroom late one afternoon before the 4th of July, and I thought everyone had already left for the long weekend. I let out one of the loudest, longest farts of my life.
Of her life.
Of my life. Then I heard someone quietly clear their throat.
Okay.
My heart is hilarious. Stopped. I peeked around the corner into the lounge. It turned out that at least 25 staff members were crowded around the window watching a baby fox roll around with the ball of dirt right outside. It was the
most wholesome scene.
It was the most wholesome scene juxtaposed with my horrendous fart.
So they're trying to be quiet to see this perfect little baby fox, and there's just this loud fart.
The loudest. She blasts it while they're out there looking at this little baby cute fox. How did they not all die laughing? I would have erupted into like laughter. So there's no way that I would not have like burst out laughing.
I'm dead right now.
Those people right there, I gotta say, like they held it together. That's impressive. One guy was nice enough to be like, to let her know, like, we're here, like, and they all know it's her. Like,
it's 25 people. 20. I thought it was gonna be like the janitor or something. Just like, hey,
25 people. All of her coworkers are watching this adorable thing. I'm a petite and proper woman too, so this surely came as a surprise that the trombonious fart came out of me.
Yep.
They were nice and tried to make like they hadn't heard, but I know they all did. And I ducked out of there fast. This was nearly 20 years ago, and I still remember it clear as day. In fact, whenever someone mentions the company's name, I immediately think, the fart.
The fart.
The fart.
I feel like you have to quit after that.
How do you, I mean, you, that would literally, I always think of like the Sex and the City scene with Carrie where she farts and she keeps replaying it in her head. I'm like, you would do that like constantly with this.
You would.
There's no way around that. Like the loudest of her life. And there's 25 people right next door watching a little cute, wholesome baby fox roll
that
around.
That's the funniest thing. That has just got to be the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they turn and then the reveal is this like little tiny petite lady, totally put together, just like, oh. Oops.
She probably said nothing. She just bounced. She just bounced. She ducked and ran.
Wow. That's good.
Tuck and roll.
Tucked and rolled.
That's all you could do.
Yep. Stop, drop, and roll away from your fart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a very quick one. The last one of this day is quick, sweet. You're going to get it, and then it's going to be done. Okay? It's going to roll right by your face.
Like a fart.
Like a big fart.
Like a fart cloud. Here goes. That the baby fox played with.
Here goes. So this is from... I need a hand on Reddit. Okay. During a high school play, someone's mic was on backstage and she said, I used a condom on your mom last night.
Ew.
Everyone in the audience, mostly parents, heard it. It was like something from a movie. Then she had to go out on stage because she had obviously missed her cue.
Wait, what? I don't understand what you just said.
So people are staying, watching a play. Mm-hmm. There are all these adults in there, mostly parents. Someone left their mic on and said to someone else, I used a condom on your mom last night.
Wait, but were they joking or they were being serious?
Joking.
Or what? Okay, they were just...
They were just like fucking around backstage, like you do, but the mic was still on. And they said that and then like...
The whole audience
frozen.
Heard.
They must have froze and that's why they missed their cue. And then they had to run out and everyone knew it was them. That's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Why would a girl say, I used a condom on your mom? Maybe.
She... Dental dam?
There you go. And yeah, that's my last story.
That was her.
That's
that, and that was it.
Hot mic.
Okay, my last story comes from Cup of Joe blog, and Cookie writes,
Cookie.
I was 10 and was invited by my crush to jump on his family's trampoline. When I arrived at his house, his mom walked me to the backyard and told me I had to stay outside because they had just had the carpets cleaned. I got on the trampoline with my friend, and we were having the time of our lives. And not just her friend, it's her crush, if you missed that in the beginning.
Right.
She's 10. She's at her crush's house.
So cute.
They're having the time of their lives. When suddenly, My stomach started gurgling. Oh, no. Moments later, I felt very ill.
No.
And I immediately needed to use the bathroom. Things were happening that I had no control over. I jumped off the trampoline and I ran through the house she's not supposed to be in, to the bathroom.
That is stupid.
But I didn't make it in time.
Dirt everywhere.
I left a trail of poo from the trampoline to the bathroom.
That is crazy.
On the freshly cleaned and still wet carpet.
Oh my God.
I was beyond horrified.
I don't even know what you would do.
I didn't know what to do. So I just ran out of the bathroom, out of the front door, and rode my bike home.
Yes, that's good.
I don't remember the details of what happened after that, but I do remember my crush telling me on the bus the next morning I wasn't allowed to play at his house ever again.
You're never allowed to come back. And you blew it.
That little kid tracked poo all through the fresh seat. She's like, don't even go in the house. Like, not only did you go in the house, you pooped like a dog all through the house to the bathroom.
So many of these embarrassing stories leave me wondering what the mom did. You know, the mom comes in and is like, is that poop? Is that a trail of
that
shit?
That a trail of
shit. Oh, my
shit.
Gosh. That
you'd
is...
think she'd be more understanding, though, because the poor kid, like, was clearly so embarrassed.
She's 10 years
you're
old.
You're never coming to my house.
She can't play with. She's dirty.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, that's a good one. That would stay with you forever.
All of these would stay with me. I don't even... Yeah. I mean, woo.
How do you do it?
We got to sage ourselves after this one. This one was a doozy with all of the embarrassing things. Wow.
That's our show.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. Yes. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can visit our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.